1, 2, 3.
Hi, I'm Redbeard, bringing you the stories behind the greatest rock albums in history. Today, in the studio, we go with the band that used Southern Harmony to avoid any sophomore slump.
We still get a big joke out of it that we would, like, look at this magazine and the Black Crowes have a number one song. Like, to us, we're just the same five goofy delinquents, you know, that are just trying to stay out of jail.
My angels, my devils, all in my pride.
Money is not actually what makes music come from wherever that drops out of the sky and lands on your head. Now, it's there, and it's, but like anything else, you know, some people make money digging graves and some people make money robbing them, you know. I never was really wanting to do either one of those, so I'm in a rock and roll band. I'm Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes, and we're in the studio.
Black Crowes co-founders singer Chris Robinson and his younger guitar-playing brother Rich were born in Atlanta, Georgia, with music and performing in their DNA. Father Stan Robinson had a minor pop hit in 1959 and toured one-nighters before marrying Nashville country singer Nancy Bradley. The Robinson boys got their chance in 1990 with the album Shake Your Money Maker, which slowly climbed over the course of more than a year to peak at number 4 on the album chart, with over 1 million copies of that debut sold. Based on that, both critics and readers of Rolling Stone magazine picked them as best new American band. So all eyes and ears were on the follow-up in May 1992. Named after a post-Civil War hymnal, the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion had to wait to be recorded until the Black Crowes completed a superhuman 350 concerts to fulfill the demand created by Shake Your Money Maker. As soon as the album was done, in May 1992, Black Crowes lead singer-songwriter Chris Robinson came to visit me in the studio.
Well, it was quite an experience. You know, it was, you see kids, you know, lots of little kids. And when you were a little kid, probably, what did you like to do a lot? Is spin around until you get really dizzy and then you fall down. And you stand up and you do it again. And I never really understood why you would quit doing that. Obviously, because some of the hang-ups that come with being an adult move into it. And so if anything, 350 shows on the Shake Your Money Maker tour was just like an extended dizzy spell, you know?
The first words on the album are, "If you feel like a riot, don't deny it." There's a reason why it starts off that way. The Black Crowes Southern Harmony sessions were recorded in L.A. in early 92 amid much disharmony because several white Los Angeles police officers accused of beating African-American Rodney King were on trial the first time. In spite of an incriminating videotape of the savage beating, the white police officers were acquitted of wrongdoing by a suburban, all-white Southern California jury. Racial tensions ignited right before the eyes of the visiting Black Crowes.
So we sat around and watched the news and looked out the window at the hotel and watched L.A. burn. And to be honest, I didn't really feel very surprised. I didn't feel very much anger. You know, I mean, it was something that was going to happen. That's what happens
when you don't
take care
of business,
right? Still
play
the games of fear and ignorance and manipulation. You know, I mean, real people don't hate anyone except, you know, someone like they meet in the street who's being rude to them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I understand all the frustrations, but I'm really, and like, I think the Black Crowes and a lot of young America never get a chance to say what's on their minds. And number one, I think, at least what's on the minds of the Black Crowes is, how dare you? How dare you second guess us? And how dare you portray everyone in this country to live the same by the same sort of fear and ignorance? And like, some of us don't hate people. And some of us understand that this government is run and fueled by one thing, and that's greed. It's called economics.
It really
is. You don't live in black or white neighborhoods. You live in poor neighborhoods, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't care because, you know, why do they have to? And this is nothing exclusive to this generation or any other. These problems have been around forever. It's called manipulation, you know? But I think now everyone wanted the president or whatever that is to say something like, you know, there's been a horrible travesty, misjustice, and we want something done. Now, you know, what if the Black Crowes took a video camera, whipped a cop out of his car, beat him up, you know, and videotaped that, and then took it to court and sat around and they let us go? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would that be?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand everyone being so upset and frustrated, and that just goes to show you it's going to be a long, hot summer, and the people who are going to want some things, you know, sort of done, maybe are going to use some of these methods, you know? I mean, I don't think looting and violence and, you know, and racial hatred is any way to tell the government, hey, by the way, can you show us some compassion? You know, like
sure
we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think everyone should run out in the street and scream and yell, do whatever they need to do. Revenge, aggressive acts of nothing, you know, that's just playing into the hands of the people, you know?
Yeah.
That's how they keep it. That's how they keep it sort of the same thing, or at least that's the way we see it.
Wake me when the day breaks. Show me how the sun shines. Tell me about your heartache. Who could be so unkind? Do you dream to touch me and smile down deep inside? Or could you just kill me? Hey, it's hard to make up your mind sometimes. My angel.
Follow In The Studio on Facebook and find many more exclusive rock interviews and live performances at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Chris Robinson and coming up, Rich Robinson, the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Rich Robinson of the Black Crowes with Redbeard.
For the Black Crowes, the 1992 sophomore effort, Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. I'm Redbeard. Even though this album was made amidst headlines of racial injustice and rioting, lead singer Chris Robinson found himself in an offstage controversy in a convenience store just minutes after legal late-night alcohol sales were cut off.
All I know is I stop in a, you know, I get lost, stop in a convenience store somewhere in Compton, try to get a 40-ounce malt liquor, and all that happens.
Next thing, it's on the news for 3 days.
I tell you. Blaming it on bad race relations and everything. I said, hey, man, I just was trying to get a drink. Must I knew everyone still sort of got along with each other. Well, I mean, that is the people who obviously understand that our government could really give, you know,
a flying flip
of about any of it, our rights, their rights, anybody, you know. But other than that, you know, just a 40-ounce malt liquor was I looking for.
That innocuous incident and the sensational reporting that followed was the first time that Black Crowes co-founding guitarist Rich Robinson saw the tabloid journalism seeping into more mainstream news before the dawn of the internet and more than 15 years before social media. Here's Rich.
Down to the electoral system that they've chosen in the United States, they gave you a choice of either A or B. What about C, D, and E, and F? You know what I mean? It's either Democratic or Republican. What about the other choices? Are there any other choices?
Yeah.
Well, no. Well, how weird is that? You know what I mean? A and B are basically one and the same.
Democracy is what they tell you it is. You know what we mean about
control. And even through media, I see how silly things that happen to us get passed down the little pipeline and come out something totally different.
Yeah,
parlor
game.
Yeah, you know. It is, exactly. You know, something happens over here. You know, some guy waves to Chris, and then it comes down here, and then some guy punched Chris Robinson in the face, and then almost shot him, and then got hit by a car and almost killed by a plane as it crashed.
Yeah, you know.
You know what I mean? It's really nuts. It's insane. And as far as technology bringing, you know, the global village that you were talking about, it's far more apparent in Europe even than it is in the United States.
Yeah.
You go to Europe and you see, you know, you go to Europe and you see CNN. Every hotel you're in, you see
Berlin,
yeah,
for a week, you're right.
And you can see America all over Europe.
We're in Zaragoza, Spain, and they have McDonald's gazpacho and
yeah, exactly.
The McDonald's there, man.
It's called McSpacho.
Yeah.
Okay. It was all right though. We tried.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We'll be right back.
with your mother's name. So baby, why who's who? Well, babe, I know you too. Tell me, did the other children's gone on you?
Single from the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion in May 1992, after the Black Crowes' Shake Your Moneymaker received both a Grammy nomination and the Rolling Stone Readers and Critics Poll Award, lead singer Chris Robinson seemed surprisingly self-aware and cautious about the early attention in his May 1992 visit here in the studio.
Well, I mean, you have to understand, if you take the time to see, well, sort through all of the accolades and all of the sort of falsehoods that people love to put on you first thing. You know, you sign a record deal, people start telling you, well, you know, it's great and blah, blah, blah. You have to know for real what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Those are the yes. same people who tell MC Rap Guy that his record's great, right. too. You know, I mean, I don't really know how they justify, you know, either one, but. With that in mind, you know, we knew that it wasn't about record companies and it wasn't about, that's being calculated, uh-huh. you know, and it's like how many bands want to be bad boys, so they run out and they dress mean and they put some bottles in their pictures and stuff. You know, it's like, I don't have to get wasted for anyone's amusement except for my own, thank you.
While the Black Crowes' Shake Your Moneymaker debut was making its 54-week ascent to number 4 on the album chart, comparisons to the Rolling Stones and the Faces were very common in describing the Black Crowes. Privately, Chris Robinson told me that it was actually Steve Marriott and Humble Pie that was more his inspiration. But the Robinson brothers seemed to understand that those same comparisons, however flattering initially, could become a creative minefield if the Black Crowes didn't find their own sound with the follow-up album Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. Here's Chris Robinson with me in the studio.
And I think that Shake Your Moneymaker, if anything, really made people sort of stop in their tracks and go, wait a minute. I mean, when was the last time a record came where that discussion was even came up. Like, whoa, what is this? Mm-hmm. Are these really good songs by a bunch of young guys who are just starting their career? Or are we going to take this as the flavor of the week and milk it for everything it's worth and see what happens? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way we sort of see it as being the Black Crowes. You know, like, you will interview a bunch of long-haired freaky people this year, you know. But this is my one thing, you know. This is my one band. Record companies got hundreds of them, you know. And they shake the hand of whoever's paying the bills, you know. And you always have to remember that. They'll always find another one. I call it living in the calendar machine, you know. It's like one of those bad movies when the calendar's just going, May, June, you know, just flying off the thing. And there you are just going, oh, man, you know, I really hope my hair doesn't fall out because it would look horrible in a video. No, you know what I'm saying? So the Black Crowes take everything day by day, you know. I mean, you could ask anyone from the management record company, my parents. It's always very edgy and very intense. It's about this far away from never being again, you know. And when music is not the thing that makes us all completely crazy and completely sane in the same yin-yang sort of expression, then we quit and we will all move on in our lives and find something else to do, because I don't do it for other people, you know. I don't do it for Uncle Sam. I don't do it for the record company. I don't do it to have cars or whatever. I do it because I'm a freak. You know, and I really dig it, you know. So if anything, you know, we're just the traveling sideshow. Pay your six tickets and stare at the freaks.
Sometimes
follow In the Studio on Facebook and find many more exclusive rock interviews and live performances too at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Chris Robinson and Rich Robinson, both of the Black Crowes, the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion.
I'm Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes, and we're in the studio.
Thanks again. It's the anniversary of the Black Crowes' muscular May 1992 second album, Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. I'm Redbeard, and long before the Louisiana state government decided to remove statues of Confederate Civil War leaders from public display, Southerner Chris Robinson knew well that symbols matter, not on face value alone, but by intent and perception. Chris had to stand firm and stand up to the record label president, Rick Rubin. Here's Chris Robinson with me in the studio.
No, Rick didn't like it at all. And then Rick, all he knew was that he wanted us to be like redneck band, like Skinner.
Jackal.
With like Confederate flags and stuff. And I'm telling him, you can't tell someone from Long Island who lives in Hollywood, who's a millionaire, that a Confederate flag doesn't mean what you think it means. He wanted to find some sort of novelty aspect of it, you know. And I don't think there's anything novel about music in that sense, you know. I understand. We grew up in Peachtree Battle Creek. There was a war. The federal government came to that place, regardless of the reasons, and burned it to the ground. And now I'd love for anything more than the Stars and Bars to be a symbol for maybe just a little bit of independence, but it's not. Racists have picked it up and they use it, so I don't have a choice. I cannot change. You know, it's like a swastika is an ancient symbol for goodwill and peace. A guy named Hitler comes along and uses it. You know, you're not going to change that anymore. You know, it's a symbol of hate.
Upon its release, the album debuted at number one. But lead singer Chris Robinson maintains that there are more important goals in life.
Who cares about being the biggest rock band in the world, you know? If anything, try to take your moment to be the best rock and roll band.
I like that.
You know, there's a difference between the biggest and the best. Mm-hmm. And to tell you honestly, you know, I'm not really concerned with, you know, being on charts with people like Mariah Carey or whoever, or like MC Hammer or something. You know, that's not really something that means much to me. So to go out on stage and to see, you know, people freak out and to have an amazing time and to have people who like the Black Crowes have another album that maybe they'll like even more than Shake Your Moneymaker and have that in their house that they can listen to in the morning or when they're fighting with their, you know, loved one, or if they're just standing naked in front of the window watching the traffic go by listening to Bad Luck, Blue Eyes, Goodbye, a song in the album, you know. That's really what it's about. And if anything, yeah, the Black Crowes are trying to make a statement that, look, you know, you can still do things the way you want to do them. There's no law, you know, there's no rule that says you have to play by the same rules and do the same things that every band does for the same reasons. We're going to do some things for our reasons and for the people who dig it, you know, because you're really nothing without the people who dig you, you know.
But let me
That's
ask
just you. A nicer way to say, by the way, the Black Crowes are a major pain in the ass to all the, you know, record industry everywhere. I can only dream that we affect people that much, you know.
I mean
that's sort of that other aspect that to us rock and roll is a militant thing, you know, really in a way. But, you know, that is one aspect that if we really could. See, I don't think it's such a big, evil, disgusting being creature right now that I don't think I could stab it in the heart and throw it over a cliff. I mean, if anything, I could just wake it up and annoy it for a little while, and then it goes.
You're talking about the music industry,
yeah,
not the band.
And, you know, it smashes me on the table and flicks me away.
Right.
I mean, we're not naive. You know, money makes the world go round. There's no reason to sort of pretend that that's not why most of the people, and that's a generalization, but they make them about me, I'll make them about them. That money is not actually what makes music come from wherever that drops out of the sky and lands on your head. Now, it's there, and it's but like anything else, you know, some people make money digging graves and some people make money robbing them, you know. Mm-hmm. I never really wanted to do either one of those, so I'm in a rock and roll band.
Remember now, this interview with Black Crowes co-founders, guitarist-songwriter Rich Robinson and his big brother, singer-songwriter Chris, was conducted before the internet, before everyone had a cell phone with video, before 9/11. It's both brilliantly foretelling of our present day and a little unsettling and troubling in its sense of inevitability. Chris Robinson first, then Rich.
The Black Crowes are weird because it's like Southern hippies are different, you know. It's like I believe in a lot of the politics of hippiedom, you know, as far as the community and as, I mean, it's hard in a capitalistic system, and I play music and I get paid for it, but I know, you know, what's going on. And but being Southern is also, if you can hip us to anything when it's cool and we'll take it, but if you hip us to something we don't dig, you know, man, it's pretty rough, you know. The Southern people will put it right back in your face, you know. You better be able to tell the truth, you know. Don't come around. You're not going to bullshit us, you know. That's the thing, you know. We are Southern people. And that is important. Our regional identities are being stripped away through technology. And that is really, you know, you talk about cultural things. That is horrible, you know. I mean, I did get to grow up in the South, you know. In Atlanta, Georgia, you were, you know, 20 minutes away from the best bluegrass music in the world or the best blues you've ever heard. Same music, man, different neighborhoods, you know. That's all it is. The human aspect of communication is being removed, and it's working. I mean, to me, it's part of a bigger plan, you know. It's like the dumb, you can even look at it in a microcosm, the music industry. They want to do this thing where you don't even go to record stores anymore.
Right.
You know, you can just put a blank CD in the thing, right, and over the phone lines, you call in and they give you the record.
You
well, that's great.
That?
So that plays on a society, again, a materialistic capitalist system. It plays on your fears, you know. well, all you see in the media is how violent everything is. So soon people will just stay in an enclosed area and have everything brought into them, and they'll communicate by computers. There'll be diseases, so that the sexual thing will be repressed even worse than it has been through, you know, religious hypocrisies and things, you know. So, I mean, that's just maybe what could happen, you know. I mean, I don't mean to sound like a paranoid.
But I want to follow up on it. I mean, innocuous, it looks innocuous enough. It looks like convenience in a busy world. But you're saying it's insidious, things like this.
Because it's easier to control people through fear and ignorance and staying out of human touch than it is to control people when they get along and they're happy, in a sense.
Do you want a bunch of free-thinking individuals in your society? You would say yes, but the people in charge would say absolutely not. You keep people fearful and ignorant, and that, like Rich said, and that's how you keep them, that's how you keep them where you want them to be. It's like convenience, technology in the studio, technology making records, all that. There's nothing convenient about being creative, to me personally. You are either creative or you're not. There are little tools and little things that can help people who aren't as creative, even out the odds, if you will. I mean, I'm not saying this from our point of view either. Trust me, I'm not that self-infatuated. But it's going to be easier to manipulate people through these convenient breakthroughs in technology. It's going to be more convenient to fool people. You know, you'll have a lot more false prophets, if you will. Bootsy Collins said the secret to walking on water is knowing where the rocks are, you know. So you got to know where those rocks are when you're out there walking on the water.
Last night I saw some kind of new light.
That's My Morning Song from the Black Crowes on the anniversary of their number one seller, second album, Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. I'm sad to report that Black Crowes keyboard player Eddie Harsh, he passed away in November 2016 at age 59. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this.